This is episode number 35 with Chantel Lewis.
Welcome to the Rise Higher podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Kwong, and each week I'll bring you an inspiring guest with an empowering message to help you rise higher and live your best life. Each guest shares their time of struggle and setback and what specific mindsets, tools, practices, or habits they use to overcome so that you can apply them to your life. This show is to remind you that you're not alone and that there's always a pathway up. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm grateful to be on this journey with you. Our struggles are a call for us to rise. So here we go. Let's dive deep now so we can rise higher together.
Welcome back to the Rise Higher podcast. I really appreciate you guys spending some time with me today, and I know you are gonna love today's episode. Now, today I've got the incredibly inspiring Chantel Lewis, who's an actress. She's a celebrity makeup artist, blogger, and voice of inspiration. And Chantel opens up her heart today to talk about the powerful moment that changed her life. And this powerful moment, it paved her path to peace and happiness. And you guys, when you hear it, you're going to see that it's not nearly as straightforward as you'd imagined. So on March 18th, 2009, Chantel was in a car accident and she lost her left hand. And what blows me away is that her response to this, it wasn't self-pity or pain, but instead it was motivation to fuel her to follow her inspiration and allow her deepest tragedy to guide her toward her greatest success. And Chantel dives into the importance of finding your perspective, your faith, and purpose through the toughest of times. You know, we can never predict what direction our lives are going to go in, but we always have the ability to choose our response to the direction and to every single circumstance that unfolds in our life. And however you choose to perceive and respond to life determines whether you keep your power or you give it away. And Chantel is here to show that we can keep our power by finding peace, gratitude, connection, and even inspiration in our greatest tragedies. Now, in this episode, some of the things that we talk about are how the path to healing isn't linear or easy, the way inspiration can be found in the darkest of times, how your greatest tragedy can sometimes lead you to your greatest purpose, why it's okay to ask for help, and knowing that you do not have to go through anything alone, how the road to finding peace is one of your own making, the importance of being kind to yourself and treating yourself well, and how the ability to choose your perspective is one of your greatest superpowers, and of course, so much more. Now, Chantel is so raw. She's so open and vulnerable in this episode, which to me are the most beautiful states of being and expressions of ourselves. And I'm really excited for you to connect with her today. You are going to feel her beautiful spirit through the airwaves, and I know you will be absolutely inspired by her story. So I can't wait to hear what you think of this episode. Take a screenshot of the podcast that you're listening to. Tag me on Instagram at I am Stephanie Kwong. And also make sure to share this with your friends because I know they are going to be so inspired by today's guest, her story, and all the wisdom that she shares. All right, guys, here's Chantel. We've got Chantel Lewis in the house.
Hi, guys.
I'm so happy that you're here with me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a long time coming. Sorry,
I know.
But I'm here.
For those of you who don't know, I've cyber-stalked Ms. Chantel.
Is that what? Yes, maybe.
Kind of. Well, we were introduced by a mutual friend.
Right.
But then we...
And I'm like, why haven't we met earlier? Because this is bananas. Because it's such an honor being here. And I'm like, maybe just timing. And now's the perfect time.
It is the perfect time. And right. I'm really thankful that you're here because you have just such a powerful story to share. You've already been such an inspiration to so many. And even to me, just when I have cyber-stalked you and checked out your Instagram. But you guys, Chantel is an actress. She's a celebrity makeup artist and a voice of inspiration to so many people already because of just who you are naturally.
Aw, thank you so much.
Yeah. Really? You're like, this feels so good.
Wait, who, me? No.
But you have a powerful story to share because you started off, well, you are an actress and you're still acting now, but you really started making it big starting when you were a child.
Yes, I was... At 7 years old, got my first agent. It's just something. My first ballet shoes were at like 3 years old. So I was like on stage and dance and theater since I could remember. So I don't really remember life without, I don't know, the performing arts, the performing aspect. And then, yeah, I moved out to LA when I was like 19. I'm from Ventura, Oxnard area. So it was like an hour
north.
Not too far, but I would do like the auditions. Like my mom would take off work and drive me out. And so at 18, I was like, I'm moving to LA and I'm going to be an actress. And then, so that was the plan. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting how, it's been a journey.
Yeah. And your journey has been, because I know I watched an interview that you did, which I think is powerful. I've had a few other very dear friends who are also in the entertainment industry in front of the camera.
Yes.
And what it's like to be an actor or an actress and to basically have people judge you based off of things that are not internal necessarily, but external.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether it was, yes, rejection is just a part of it. And it didn't, I mean, as a kid, you don't really feel like you've been affected by it, but I think there is an element. You go home and you're like waiting for that phone call over and over. I was like, just a constant like reminder, like, oh, well, you aren't good enough again. Oh, you're not good enough. Oh, maybe I wasn't pretty enough. Oh, maybe I wasn't skinny enough. I mean, this like the whole cycle of that. I mean, truthfully, I love acting. It's like why I do acting is, you know, it's just such a painful process that I guess they say, you know, it takes thick skin to really rise to the next level or get through that. But there just became a point where I just was like, that not enough syndrome, I said, just kind of took over. And I was like, I'm a happy person. I'm a good person. I love life. And I feel sad all the time. I feel sad. I feel that, is it ever going to happen? And then if it does, there's, you know, you book a role and then it's like crickets. And then it's like that whole like, and now what? And am I going to get the next role? And I don't think it's a healthy way to live, at least for me. I just would never want to go back to that lifestyle. But that being said, I'm still acting, which is crazy, but I've had a complete shift of perspective. And I think that happened, as you'll hear in a little bit. Just a life-changing experience where it really, truly wasn't about God, it was like the sky is bluer, the grass is greener. It's like, I'm just really happy to be here, happy to share my gift. And either they like me or they don't. I just feel like now I'm just in a healthier place where there's not really an attachment to that golden ticket. It's like, I did my best and that feels really good. And interesting enough, like I've booked more through that perspective when I just kind of walked away from it. You know, I surrender, I leave it up to the universe, leave it up to God. And, you know, so that's kind of been that journey.
Yeah, I feel as if, well, for me, what I've experienced, so much of what's behind our intention when we're going after something either attracts it to us or pushes it away.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Well, I remember, you know, I mean, it was like, I'm super into Law of Attraction and The Secret. And I'm like, oh, I've been living my life like this forever. If I could just really visualize, really believe it to be true, I could manifest it right here in this moment. And sometimes not like it would happen. You're like, okay, there is like
parking spaces.
Yeah. Like the parking. Totally. I got that down. Exactly. I was like, but I'm not really attached to it. I'm like, of course I'm going to get a parking spot. Oh my God, there's a parking spot. You know, I mean, in that aspects, but then there's a part where it's like there was always the fear of like not having enough. I mean, even financially, like that just, you know, as a struggling artist, like truthfully, I had to figure something out. I don't believe in struggling artists. I don't think it's healthy for anyone. You walk in that room with either desperation or with like a, just like this cloud over your, I mean, it's just like a, not attractive, not, I mean, you don't feel good about yourself. So I had to figure something else out financially that could like pay the bills. And also, I mean, I was a waitress, I was a wine tender, whatever that was back then. And that for me just felt like a state of mind too. I'm like, I'm just another statistic that I'm out here in LA. I'm walking into this restaurant every day. And I had, you know, my little car that from high school that was breaking down on the way, you know, I'm like, it just was icky. So yeah. I will say, I think I made a conscious decision to shift that because I was like I said, there came a moment and I will never forget. I always went to Temescal Canyon. I do my hikes up there and I get to the top of my rock. Yes. Yeah. And it was a point where I'm like, I haven't really like talked to God in a really long time, but it was kind of like, God, I don't want to feel like this anymore. Like I'm going to shift. Like I can't live like this anymore. And I think he answered actually quite quickly because literally that evening I was in a car accident.
That was the night.
That was the night I was in a car accident and I'll never forget. Not that it like, I mean, talk about like, oh boy, but it's just a very real thing to me. Like I really pray and ask, you know, asked for help because it's just how I was raised. That's how, you know,
Chantal, as a product. I pray and ask too. So
yeah.
I'm with you, sister.
Like, yeah. And no matter, I don't know who were, sometimes you don't know, I didn't know who I was talking to at the time, but I'm just like, this has got to change. Like I've never intended to come out here feeling this way. Mm-hmm. So alone, but more like, just beating myself up. I mean, it's my worst enemy. And there's always that like quote, like if you talk to your friends the way you talk to yourself, I'd have like zero.
Totally.
I still battle with that because I'm like, Chantal, be grateful. Chantal, you're okay.
Yeah. It's so funny because sometimes when I hear my friends saying mean things about themselves, I'm always like, hey, don't talk about my friend like that.
Yeah, I love that one.
So but cool. Then I have to listen to that about myself too because I can be pretty fierce and pretty mean to myself. And it's, I think that's the work, the inner work of like being willing to love all of yourself instead of carrying on the judgments of whatever we picked up along the way as we were growing up, whether it was, you know, from the people that did their best with us or even just society or somebody that was on our journey that had us feel not so great or even ourselves, the interpretations we've made about ourselves, and that it's about uplifting and overcoming those negative conversations about ourselves.
Right.
But I love that you had that moment where you're like, I can't feel this anymore. Mm-hmm. And you committed to it and you said.
And I shifted and I think just before I like got fired from my my waitress job because I booked like a indie horror film, like my first one. And they're like, you don't show up, you don't get the, or you can't come back. I'm like, great. I'm never going to be a waitress again. And I was super excited. And then that job ended. And then I went on this downward spiral again. And I was like, oh, I don't really know what I'm doing. So I had that moment. And holy moly, talk about perspective. Talk about what we think is important, like where our priorities are. But you're right. Like, I remember as a child, just like I grew up from like a dance background, you know, I was or a competition, like competing background too. So it was a lot of like, I got to nail it. I got to get the routine. I'll practice. That was just my personality. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't get it, it wasn't even like my parents kind of gave us the freedom to be like, do what you want to do. But they're really good about it. I was in dance class 6 days a week. Also, in theater, auditioning in the summer to be, you know, to do musicals. And then I think I was playing softball at the time. I think I was like, I just like I cheered. I was on the cheer team. I like wanted to do everything. And I was like 4.0 student. Like, I don't know. That was just like what I did.
Yeah. You're just A+ all the way.
But it, I mean, and not in an annoying way, like, oh, overachiever, so cool. But like, so yeah, I think that was kind of out here. It's like the real world. I think that's growing pains as well.
Absolutely. And so We're rolling into this moment now.
Yeah.
March 18th, 2009, when you asked God, or was it the night before? Or was it that day?
It was that day.
That morning, right?
That morning I went on my hike. And I went over to my best friend's house, and it was interesting. I kind of promise. Oh my gosh, I have chills right now. You can see this. Goosies. I kind of felt like there was a weight lifted off of me. Like I was like in like happy Chantel mode, like with my best friend. And I remember we watched Across the Universe, and I love that movie. It's like,
I love it too.
Oh, it's so good. And we were like dancing like kids and whatnot. And then I had work the next morning. I think I picked up like a side job in a hair salon. So my sister's a hairstylist. And so I was like, okay, I'll do some front desk stuff. But that's like, again, I was like, what am I doing with my life? And so I had work, and I was just on her couch, and I literally just popped up, and I was like, I'm going to go. And she was like, are you sure you don't want to stay? I was like, no, I have work in the morning. Like, it was so odd, because she's like, you literally are laying there, and you just popped up, like almost as if like the universe is like pulling me. I'm like, no, I'm going to go right now. And I don't live too far, a few blocks away. And I was driving down the street, and I was in a car accident. And I was hit by a huge semi truck, and it took off. Holy moly, I haven't talked about this in a long time. It took off the left side. The left side of my car took my left hand with it. I lost my hand on impact, and they actually found it in the backseat of the car. So fortunately, I was near the UCLA hospital off of Wilshire, and they rushed me to the hospital, and they said, and I'll never forget, my sister reminds me of this, but the doctor said, we found the hand, and we're going to do an emergency surgery, and it could be like an 8-hour surgery, but it's not guaranteed. And apparently, like, as much as I'm like, I think I'm just this like failure at life. Apparently, I'm like, who am I? I said, that's okay. Just let me wake up. I'm not done here. I'm not done on this planet. Like, what? Like, that just came out of me. I said, I'm not done here. You can take the hand, but just let me wake up. And so, obviously, I woke up. Yay. And I'll never forget the doctor. She looked in my eyes, and she had these tears in her eyes. And she was like, I'm so sorry, but you're going to have one hand for the rest of your life. I was like, okay. And my sister said, I guess I was like, so this is real, right? Like, this is real. I'm awake. They're like, yeah. I'm like, no brain damage. I could speak. I can sing. I could still act. I remember saying I could dance. I could, you know, have a family. And I mean, I was just saying all these things. I mean, probably on morphine or whatever, but still. And then I said, okay. You could take the hand. I remember just this feeling. Oh, like, wow. I said in that moment, I'm not done here. Whatever that meant to me. Like, that was like that moment on top of the rock. Like, I don't want to go through life just kind of going through the motions. There's something bigger than this. There's something greater than, I mean, it sounds horrible because my passion for acting is still great, but like, there's something bigger than acting, you know, there's something bigger than getting that role or, you know, getting rejected a million times. Like, I don't know. I still kind of say I don't exactly know what that is yet. Purpose, we all call it.
Oh, we know what it is, girl. We were talking about it before we started rolling. What next steps are for you?
Yeah, next steps.
It's about claiming that next. But I know it was a journey to get here.
Yeah.
Too, because that was 2009, like 8 years ago.
Yeah, right? Nine.
Even though I'm Asian, I suck at math.
A good nine years. Yeah. So, but you're right. That was just the beginning. And I'm not saying it was rainbows and ponies, but when I was saying like, oh, I wanted to be outside, like the grass literally was greener to me. I saw the sky. Wow. I saw the birds. I mean, it's the weirdest, like I was living again, you know?
Well, and I want to highlight something else that I remember seeing before when I was, you know, doing my research on you, but that the room was filled with people that you loved and it looked like a flower shop.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah.
And my mom, yeah, she said, and you thought you were alone, Chantel. And I'm like, oh, God, poor me, like, who is that girl, you know?
Yeah.
And there was, I mean, flowers, I mean, there was a line out the door. My sister ended up being like, I swear she was like
a bouncer.
She was a bouncer. She had a list and said, oh, did you call? Like, I was like, and that's just so her personality. She was like my doctor slash my, I don't know. She just organized everything. But yeah, it was just, I mean, the love that I received, and I truly, truly meant it and mean it from the bottom of my heart. Like without those people, like people in general, without, you know, like I said before, I was really alone, but I chose to do that. And I have a tendency to isolate, and I know that about myself. Mm-hmm. And we as humans, I think we need people. And I feel like people do want to be a part of my life. And so after that, so it's interesting because I went through this cycle where it was like all of a sudden, oh my God, you're an inspiration. You're this inspiration. And I was writing at this time. I started this inspirational blog. I was in a play at the time. I got back on stage 2 weeks later.
Wow.
Full house, standing ovation. And I was just, you know, I just threw myself back in life. And I'm like, well, if I'm still here, I'm going to like kill it. I'm going to kind of go in and I'm just going to, you know, live my life, like live it. And then that, after a while, and so many people wanting to be a part of my life and saying you're inspired, but I would get these stories like my dad committed suicide or like I almost killed myself, you know, just all these like just people trying to relate with trauma. And I was like, well, I lost my hand. So I don't know if, you know, like I wasn't trained to like either help these people, like be their psychologist, but then I also didn't want to be like, you know, shy away from it. And like, I knew that I had somewhat of a story, but I didn't really know what that was yet to help these people to be like, yo, like if I could do it, I think you could do it too, you know? And then, and you get the like, God, I thought my life was bad, but now like, I was like, well, my life's actually not bad. I was like, oh, this, my hand, which I forget about half of the time. I was like, oh yeah. I forget. Mine, you could just see, but so much of this, like in people's battles, like internally.
Oh yeah.
And so I wanted to be that person, but I'm like, I didn't sign up for this role, like this role model inspiration. So it just, I think I,
And I think what people see and what you could support them with, Chantel, and what you have, even just you guys, if you got to follow this beauty on Instagram, because your posts are so inspiring and it's all about the perspective. I mean, the fact that you were like, take my hand. I just, if I can see and breathe and I've woken up and right. I can still, you know, create a family and act right. and do all that. That's it's everything in life is, and our experience of it is based off of our perception of it.
Absolutely.
And you literally turned what people would normally see as a massive tragedy into your true triumph. And the moment your eyes opened the next day, it was a triumph because you didn't make yourself a victim.
Right.
You're
right.
Just like, it's okay. Let me see this a whole new way. This is my second chance. I'm going to kill it now. And I'm
right.
seeing all the love that I have and that I'm not done here and I'm going to do something with this.
I mean, I think that initially was like my goals, I'm like, this has to have some kind of purpose. If not, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. But that being said, I think I continued to do that, to do life, to go for it, to be an inspiration, to, you know, still act, just like live my best, truest self. Like I did a lot of work, but there is a point where I kind of shut down and said, you know, sometimes I'm hurting too. And physically, like it was like no joke. And I just like, I think back to like maybe dancer days, like you just got to get through it. You're going to, you know, you got to get over it. You know, Chantel, this is permanent, get over it. And I mean, not that that was in the back of my mind, but I think that was like the initial, that's like the competitiveness in me. And like after I've like, I really got into running, and that became like my outlet. That was like, I think I did like 5 marathons.
Whoa.
And like 7 halves. And like, that was like my therapy in so many ways. But that was also like, it was pretty brutal. I was like killing my body at some point. I've slowed down a bit. I love my yoga and my running and spin, but you know, like it's just been, and that's kind of like was my outlet at that time, I think. Was just run. But then at some point I'm like, I can't just keep running away.
And I love that you say that. Was there that moment in time though, where it finally did hit you? Because, and I share this one, yes, every moment we can choose our perspective, right? That can empower us or disempower us. And then there is also that there is tragedy and trauma that occurs, and not to bypass over the experience of it too. And not, I would say, coming from that victim place, because sometimes it's like, why me comes from that energy, but more of like, holy crap, this sucks. And going through the process of anger, sadness, whatever might come up, did that occur for you later? Because when you said that it felt like the hurt, was it a physical hurt in your body, or was it like a inner hurting of you finally going, wow, this is
something I'm going to have to live with forever?
Yeah.
I think it was a bit of a combination.
Okay.
I think the physical pain, I had to get a revision surgery. Like, I think that came like 2 or 3 years later, but those first 2 years were brutal. I had these nerve balls. I mean, you touch something and I'd like want to fall to my knees, and I just burning sensation. Like the phantom pain is no joke. Like, and it's still there. And I still sometimes wake up like, am I really just going to have this like numbing, burning feeling for the rest of my life? It's just,
is it in your arm?
Yeah. It's just at the very end of my arm from like my elbow down.
Okay.
Yeah. And then sometimes it like my fingers get twisted up and it's the weirdest thing. And like, or I have this weird itch in my palm. I was like, the thing's not even there. And it's like killing me. Like, I'm like, what do you want from me sometimes? But there is that. And I, you know, like I said, I turned to like running, and like, that was like when I just shut everything off. Mm-hmm. And then I will say, so I met this beautiful human 4 months after my accident, and I was falling in love, like head over heels, the most beautiful love story ever. Mm-hmm. This is like, yeah, 5 months after my accident. So, I mean, talk about the like, I mean, there's certain these angels that come into your life. Like, I don't know where I'd be. Like, I'm dealing with these like most horrific, most traumatic thing that you'd ever think could happen to someone, and it was happening to me. Yet I was in this euphoric, like beautiful place of like just love, of just this genuine, like this beautiful relationship. Mm-hmm. So that definitely helped me. 4 years later, we broke up, and I was a mess. I was an absolute mess. And I think that's the point where all the stuff that maybe I should have dealt with or think you should have dealt with. Or my sister would be like, did you ever really go to, never really went to therapy, kind of just run away. I'm still acting. I'm still doing my job. I'm, you know, I've established myself as a professional celebrity makeup artist. Like that in that time when I said like, I can't be a struggling artist. I figured something else out, which my greatest passion is makeup, and it's art to me, and it was very therapeutic at the same time. And it was so like, a lot of it was selfless. I could help other women like feel beautiful. It wasn't just me. Like acting is such a self-indulgent kind of lifestyle. So that was helpful. I had this beautiful boyfriend. That all just, well, I still had the makeup, but it wasn't quite at the level that it is now. So yeah, that's when I was feeling like it's hard with one hand just by myself. Like he'd make my bed sometimes. He'd like take out the trash. He'd clean my dishes because he was just like, and sometimes I get frustrated. I'm like, babe, I could do it. Like I'm not like crippled or whatever. You know, I think there's that element. Like you don't have to do it. But he was just such a sweetheart and just always wanted to like help me. So that's when I was just really like doing life. And I started, to be honest, going back to that old girl that I used to know, of feeling not enough, of feeling like, and now I have one hand and I'm out here. Now I'm in my late 20s and I, you know, am I going to be an actor? Like I haven't booked anything really significant. lots of horror films, couple soap operas, but I'm like, yeah, it was like, what am I doing again? But that being said, again, it was like, just, it wasn't as like deep rooted in like, what's the word? Just like as painful as it was when I was younger. I like knew when I get those thoughts, I'd be like, okay, I've done the work where I could get myself out of it. Mm-hmm. Or whether it's like doing something healthy for myself, my yoga, my, you know, treating myself well, surround myself with like my friends and good people. And again, I think I really just put all my like efforts into making women feel beautiful, mm-hmm. which is where I kind of fell into this whole beauty industry, beauty influencer, whatever you want to call it. And yeah.
You know, so it's so interesting because I'm listening. There's like two paths that my brain is going on. First is...
Sorry, I go on tangents.
No, you've actually been in a perfect track. I just had questions that like came up along the way as you were sharing. But like the first was, you know, you said, I don't want to feel this way anymore. The accident occurred and then it shifted for you, right?
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Feeling immediately.
Oh, immediately.
But then, and all these angels came in and then... we see that there was still unresolved stuff that was there, right?
Yeah.
Like the breakup was kind of the catalyst to seeing that there was undealt or trauma that was not, hadn't been dealt with.
Absolutely.
So then the old feelings kind of came up again, but not as intense, you said. How did you move through it this time around? Like what was it for you? And then I have another question about the makeup stuff.
But. Yeah. well, gosh. Just reflecting on like, it's hard living with one hand sometimes. It really is. And I allowed myself to feel that instead of push it away or feel bad about that, if that makes sense. So giving myself permission to be like, maybe it's okay to ask for help or maybe it's okay to I'm so not like a poor me, woe is me. And if it is, it's like a very internal thing and no one will ever know about it. But I didn't want to go there this time. So, I mean, truthfully, my faith is everything. Like I surrender. I give it to God. And I ask, and it's not like I receive all this, you know, miraculous things overnight, but, things just shift, like would shift as soon as I'd feel this like kind of poor me in a way. I mean, that's not the word because I didn't feel that, but I was like, this is just hard. And I would ask and then I would just kind of get myself in like a yoga class and meditate on it. And just like really truthfully at this point, believe that I'm going to be okay. If I've gotten this far, like I think I can get through this or whatever it was. And at that time, I mean, truthfully, I was battling with a lot at that time. I was like probably four years ago now. 5 years. I think that was like more traumatic for me. And to be honest, I was in this horrible lawsuit and that ended around that time as well. And I feel like that just stuck with me for like ever. And that was like this, I mean, I have a whole conspiracy about it, but I lost everything. And it was just so unfair and so not just. And that could be a whole other podcast.
Was that with the accident?
With my accident. So I didn't get a dime. I didn't get.
You got hit by a semi truck.
There the elements, it's like the technicalities of the things that happen, but I don't know, like my lawyers disappeared a week before my trial, just awful things, awful. If I wanted to revisit and like everyone appeal or whatnot, I was like, you know what? No, I got, maybe way down the road. I don't even know if I can, but just let me breathe without that, you know? And I think that was like another hit. It was just like one thing after another. It's like, let alone I have lost my hand. I lose this lawsuit. And then they come back at me for like, I don't know, thousands of dollars for going to trial. I'm like, you're going to sue me for that? It was just bananas. I mean, I was just, so that being said, it's like, I kind of felt like I hit rock bottom at that point. And I was like, I've done it before. I know I could do this. Pick myself up. I surround myself with great people. I mean, my running community was amazing. And then my acting community, I was still doing my plays, you know, just doing things that I really love to do. I'm such a hopeless romantic. And my sister's like, you like, I love love and I love being in love and I love being with someone. And I think these last, four and a half years since I was apart from the breakup, I'm really glad I had that time. Like, I've traveled a lot that I never imagined. And something shifted, like, honestly, being able to finally, in that time, because of all that struggle and the pain, I, like, figured something out. And I actually was, like, making a big girl living, you know? Like, I figured out something. Yeah. I was like, I have this one talent that... doesn't really, I mean, it's about, believe me, that industry is not as glamorous as it seems and there's still a hustle about it, but there's this talent and I feel like because in a way you end up being like all these like women's like therapists at some point or they think they're having a bad day or they're, you know, I've just connected with so many people along the way and I think that's truly what like where my heart is. That's what I want to do. Like I want to help people. I want to inspire. I've done a couple of speaking engagements, telling my story, my testimony, doing like coming here today. Yeah. Like this is what, like, that's just kind of where I think God led me because I asked and I'm like, I don't know what else to do. Cause I'm lost. And then, you want to hear a really cool ending to that tragic love story. He came back and we're back together. Oh. And now, yay! And timing.
He takes out the trash and washes the dishes.
And he's so wonderful, you guys. We're babies and we're going separate ways. And now, he's wonderful. And this is, yeah.
But what a beautiful thing it was that time that he did go away because that actually finally brought up the undealt with emotions.
Right.
I mean, that needed to happen.
I think that was hard on one myself. I mean, God, I created this horrible, like, eating disorder at this time. I mean, the running was one thing. You know, when girls running four marathons, something's going on. Mm-hmm. So, and it was hard on the relationship because it became a little compulsive about it. But I think it was a sense of control since I had lost control. Yep. Of something I couldn't change. Mm-hmm. And something that is so permanent that I'm like, okay, I'm going to be in control of everything else that I can by doing A, B, and C. So it was just a lot on the relationship. And myself, and it just wasn't in a, and you're right. Yeah. So much process.
Yeah. So I know one of the things that you said when you had to really face off with what happened and with yourself and the emotions. Oh, you're fine, girl.
No. Drink your water.
Sorry, I'm like chugging water over here. Cold. I'm sorry.
No, there's airplanes.
What were you saying?
just I'm just drinking. Over my cold. I'm hydrating right now. Know that when you did go through, finally have to face off with what happened and with these emotions that were coming up that were challenging, that one of the keys for you was your faith, you said. Were there other things that you leaned into to support you during that time to either process or shift in some way? What else was supportive for you?
I mean,
I know the physical activity too, because for some people,
that was everything.
Letting the energy out through movement.
I was like an athlete again. And I grew up like dancing. So I always, that was the other thing, like having community was really important. And when I was just acting on my own or like going to the gym by myself, like I just, I miss that. It's like the teamwork and the, you know, camaraderie
yeah.
and like having community, your girlfriend community. Having, yeah. And then
your squad.
And I never really had that. And I think that, I mean, I have the most amazing supportive family. and my sister does live out here, and she has established this amazing, I want to say an empire, but it's her hair salon. So I work through the salon, and that's it. I have a big community there. But I really think it's like my physical activity is like everything. Mm-hmm. My physical activity, my faith, and then just like having that creative outlet. Like, I feel like I'm like that. I will go bananas. Like, my skin will crawl if I didn't do something creative, like at least once a day. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't think, but truthfully, and it's interesting, and I think that is what we're like, faith is just it's so powerful. Is like, you know, they say we can't really do this on your own. And I tried so much. I could figure this out. I'm going to figure it out.
Me too.
I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. I'll go to yoga, and then I feel a little bit better right now, but you just don't, you know, you just push it down, push it, suppress it until it all comes out. And you're like, okay,
whoa, yeah,
is that crazy? Okay. She's lost that. Chantel's lost it.
How does one develop their faith?
Ooh. Beautiful question. I will say, not because I had like this near death experience. Is that what it takes to, you know, really finally like have this beautiful relationship with God? I mean, even right, we go through these phases. I mean, I literally found myself on my knees again and asking and praying and just saying, can you help me? Cause I can't do this anymore by myself. And so I know, I mean, it just sounds like this fluffy, like supernatural thing where you just like give it up to God and everything's going to be okay. But sometimes that's exactly what I had to do. And I did, I would go to church on Sundays. I went to the Bible study, but it's interesting. And I'm still working through this part, but, I have this element of social anxiety. And so even in those environments, I wasn't a part of like a community, you know, everyone's like community and then everyone's hanging out. And I just would go in kind of beeline and then go out. Like, I don't know why. Like
you always had social anxiety, or was it post?
I think I was a shy kid, and I think that's where my acting and my theater like allowed me to have a voice. Yeah, you know,
your dance. You're like, here I am. But it's being channeled like Sasha Fierce. How Beyonce's got like her persona.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, and of you're course. Like, here's another part of me, and then the other part's like, and then actually I'm well, a
like,
bit more
actually,
shy.
Actually, I don't like all the attention. It's so funny because I'm a Leo, and my boyfriend's like, you're like, are you
and you're
Leo?
Shy? No, yeah, but no. I was like, wait, what? And social anxiety, like, Leo? I've never heard of that.
Well, they say it's like, oh, love the center of attention, love all this. I was like, actually, I don't. My boyfriend's like, I think it just like, you naturally, like it would come to you. And then that's like, honestly, like where but it's like in a stage full of 1,000 people, I can perform. I can give, you know, I'm ready to go. And then I get in front of like two people sometimes, and I just.
So here's what's interesting though. When you're on stage, you're not yourself.
Yeah.
And you're performing, mm-hmm. right? There's those masks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But then it's when it's like you not being something that you're not, but just absolutely. Chantel is all of a sudden when it's like, mm-hmm. right? And also with two people, it's more intimate than like.
Yeah.
An audience. There's a barrier. You're on stage. They're out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like the like groups of like 5 to 10, you know, and everyone has, you know, like, or it's like those kind of Bible study and everyone's raising their hands and I'm like, I'm so nervous. Don't even call on me. I'm going to throw up if I have to like speak. Like it's the weirdest thing. But I found that because it is scary. It's like, yeah, there's this whole new world of social media. And I think there is a persona for everyone. We showcase kind of the things that we want people to see, you mm-hmm. know? And I've showcased, I mean, I've expressed the pain and I've clearly expressed that it wasn't all rainbows and ponies. And even that's being really vulnerable. And I feel like, I'm like, is that too indulgent? Should I not do that? You know, like I'm always kind of, is this okay? You know, I just feel like, not that I'm not going to be like, but I also to be seen and like, oh, I don't know. I just get scared sometimes. And yeah. And also the questions, what happened to you? Just, why do you have one hand? And then like, okay, here's the story. And then you just kind of go through the motions and you tell the same story like we talked about. Mm. And sometimes I'm like, I forget that I don't have it, but I forget that people want to know. And then I don't want to be rude or I don't want to be like, shoot, I wasn't really an inspiration when I was like, oh, my hand got chopped off, or something stupid because I'm just like, whatever. And I'm like, oh, I should have like given them a little, I don't know.
But are you obligated to?
No. And that's okay. The thing. It's either I shy away from it mm-hmm. or I like do rise to that occasion to like either help or, and it's usually people that are want to know or like have been dealing with something themselves.
Mm, okay.
You know what I mean? So that's where I feel like I want to help people. Mm-hmm. I mean, through what I've been through and just to know that it's going to be okay. It's not an easy ride whatsoever, but.
And I think that's the beauty is the honesty in that is that it's not an easy ride. There are the ups and downs and that, you know, is part of the intention of what this show is to share that people like you who have created incredible success for yourself have had challenges, but you've been able to rise above, you know, in that, in what occurred but it's still a journey. So just because it's like, I went through that moment doesn't mean like, and I'm done for the rest of my life.
Exactly.
I'm on cruise control and it's all good. It's like, no, there's still going to be those moments.
Exactly.
But I think, and as you said, because I want to highlight this is the first time you were feeling insecure, like the self-doubt and am I good enough? It was a much more deeper pain than when you felt it the second time because something had, you're still growing and evolving over time. So I think that's what life is it's not that we're going to be exempt from having challenging moments. Mm-hmm. However, the tools that we learn, practices we put into mm-hmm. place, the faith that we, mm-hmm. you know, develop or whatever it is, the trust or the surrender mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. whatever it is that we got from moving through different challenges of the past start to build us up to be able to move through a bit more elegantly through the next ones,
right?
You know, or with a bit more grace for ourselves, especially because we can be so hard on ourselves when we hit those challenging moments. I know when I do, it's like my self-talk wants to have a field day with me.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, ooh, that is not nice.
No, and it doesn't feel good. That's the thing. I'm like, one of the things that feel good. Like I said, I don't do well with breakups and I don't do well. And this is what I actually learned a lot through the process of losing my hand. I don't do well with loss, something that once was that no longer exists.
Mm, so that's your lesson.
Yeah. But that's what happens every day in life, whether it's you're moving, I'm about to move from a place I've been in like 10 years. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be miss this place. It's not there. I'm going to probably just drive down the street just to like be like, hey, but like, I just don't, you know, things like parents divorce. It's like, what? We're not a full family. You know, maybe it triggered. That was my main trigger when I was a kid, but also losing a hand. But I had a hand for 24 years, you know, mm-hmm. and that was a blessing. So I've lived a lot of life. Mm.
You know, I know that you mentioned in that other interview I saw you in that after the accident, it revealed the gifts that came to you and the shifts in your perspective that changed you for the better. What were those shifts? I know some of them you already said, it's like seeing life in a whole different way that you are grateful to be alive. Were there other ones that have supported you afterwards from where you were, accident occurred to like changing your perspective on how you see yourself or life?
You know, it's so interesting. I felt so good to be alive, but not mm-hmm. just living like the, you know, not just living. I was alive again. So it was right kind of in the beginning, or at least when I started to notice, because like early 20s, like these young girls that are just changing their faces, that are not happy about their body. You see it that, you know, some reality star, not naming any names, gets 7 surgeries in one night. And she's like 24 years old to change the way she looks.
Oh, she looks I know who exactly you're
talking about. A completely different human.
It's not even the same person.
And I'm just thinking, I'm like, gosh, like, because they don't, and they say, you know, because they don't feel whole or they don't feel for self-esteem and every woman should feel beautiful. And I absolutely understand or agree with that. But I'm like, am I not beautiful because I have one hand? I'm like, for me, I truthfully truthfully did not believe that the answer was no. Like in my heart, I was like, I don't feel ugly because I have one hand. I mean, it's a little weird. I get it. It's a little like, oh, whoa. Okay. Whoa. That's different. But, and to be honest, I'm like, I'm more at peace with one hand than I ever was with two hands.
Oof.
In that moment, you know? And mm-hmm. so that was the shift. Cause that's when that was my revelation for myself was that that was me just exploring. And I would write so much cause I'm trying to process all of this. I'm like, why do I feel good with this? You know, like, cause I look back at that poor 24-year-old at top of the rock a few weeks prior to that is just like on my knee, just like horrible, just sad. And alone and crying in a corner of my bathroom who knows? Like, I'm like, is this hormonal? I'm like, this can't be hormonal. It's happening way too often. I'm like, and then mom would be like, come home. And I'm like, I'm never giving up on my dream, you know? And then it's like, what am I doing to myself? So I guess that was kind of, you know, I think that was the perspective. Like, I did feel more at peace with one hand. I would never want to go back to that feeling. And I do, like I said, you know, I've had so many girls reach out and be like, oh, God, I deal with it. Like the insecurities, because I talked a lot about body image, image dysmorphia, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like I saw the completely different girl with the two hands. Mm-hmm. And I look at pictures with the two and it wasn't the hand. I was like, gosh, I was such like a beautiful young girl. And I just never saw that. I was living in this like trapped, you know, I don't know. And it's, I'm not saying it's like the best thing that ever happened to me by any means, but like what I get to see now, the conversations I have, the people I meet, just like an interview like this, like I haven't told that story in a long time. And yeah, I'm just feeling like right now in my life is like, okay, what's next? Not that I haven't done enough, but there's always going to be that. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like as creative, you know, individuals. Like I always want to do something that's.
Well, yeah, your inspiration's about to, the volume on that's about to go up, girl. We know that.
We know that.
And I'm so excited to see that get amplified because it's, you know, your story is powerful. How you have moved through it is powerful. How you're still moving through it in certain mm-hmm. days is powerful mm-hmm. when you share. You know, I think. And that's why sometimes I try to pull from my guests and from you. It's like, well, what mindsets did you have? What tools, what practices?
Right.
So we can share them with each other to support ourselves through tough times and even through the great times.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, I'm learning so much. I'm learning so much about like myself just having this conversation. Like, oh yeah, but great questions. Cause I'm like, how did I get through that? And how am I still getting through this? I'm like, yeah, I'm doing okay, you know? I have to just be okay. Like saying like, you're okay, Chantel, you're doing good job, you know? And that's hard for me to say, or it always has been, you know, I'm not like a, look at me, I'm so awesome. Cause I don't ever feel like that. Mm-hmm. But if I do feel like, I'm like, oh yeah, I have created those tools.
Yeah.
This lifestyle. And
the key is having your own back. I mean, yeah. I think people always think that, you know, the secret to happiness and feeling good is when I get this thing that's outside of me, you know, but it's really just about how we treat ourselves. Because you can be in the most challenging circumstances that would normally take you out. But if you have your own back and you can come with yourself at yourself and with yourself from a place of compassion, it shifts the game of the experience. Yeah.
That's like,
so even just, I love you saying like, you're okay. I mean, I've been going through some weird stuff lately and I woke up with like weird night sweats. And the thing that I was struggling with was ruminating in my mind. And I literally had to stop and I like to reroute my brain instead of going down that downward spiral.
Yes. It's totally.
I'm like, I had to go pee in the middle of the night and I'm like, I'm enough, I'm enough, I'm enough, I'm enough. And I'm like just chanting that to myself, you know, or that I'm okay. You're going to be okay. Steph, don't worry, girl. You got this. You're all right. You're all right. Mm-hmm. This too shall pass.
This too shall pass. It's my favorite thing to say.
I was like, can it pass faster?
Exactly.
But it's but it's that conversation that I have with myself that moves me through it with more grace versus mm-hmm. old me would be telling myself all this negative
and why it's stuff. Or why it's happening to
yeah.
me.
Of course, because you're not this and you're not that and you're not online. You're never going to have it. And it's like,
oh yeah,
it's terrible. So that's really the key.
But those thoughts still cross my mind, you know?
And does to me too.
But you're saying,
it's a shift.
Yeah. And it is a shift. And I look like, again, through like running and yoga, but there'd be like the most painful times and like it's so like symbolic to life. And I'm like, girl, look what you've gotten through. You can run another couple miles, or you're like in your pose and it's just you handle it with grace. And sometimes in yoga, I'm like, why am I doing it? I do hot yoga. I do it like twice a day. And sometimes they're just really intense and I love it. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, why am I doing? I'm like, this too shall pass this as too well. Shall pass.
Just like this pose. I'm going to get out of it in just about like 30 pose. Seconds.
Exactly.
A couple things I wanted to ask you, because I know one powerful message that you have moved through and you support other women in is like being comfortable in your own skin, right? And something like you have a bunch of people who had fundraised for a prosthetic arm for you, but you choose not to wear it. And I know that you mentioned you're like, because I can't support masking who I truly am, which I was like, chills when I read that. But can you share more about that?
Yeah, it's there's a fine line with this. And I always, you know, I want to be careful how I word it, because I don't want to offend anyone who may just battle with that so much that they do need, whether it's a prosthetic or, you know, not showing it on Instagram. I can't tell you enough how many young girls with an amputee say, until I saw your Instagram, I've never showed my accident. I never showed my hand. I never showed my toes. I never, whatever it was, missing, you know, ailment. So that was like really, really cool. And that's the kind of role model I want to be. Cause I'm like, this is me. Like, this is with or without, you know, like this is who I am. So beautiful. It scrolls upside down. Sorry. Super sidetrack. It seems hanging. Sorry.
It's okay.
ADD squirrel. Moment. Squirrel.
Literal squirrel outside right
literally
now.
Literally. He was hanging upside down. It was really cute. So I had this amazing fundraiser right in the beginning, because that's honestly, what can we do for her? What can we give her? You know, it's like she needs a hand. She needs a prosthetic. It needs to be amazing. And all these wonderful humans came together, my friends, my family, people from all over the place came out and fundraised for a prosthetic for me. So it was amazing. And of course, at that time, I'm like, great, I could go to my auditions, and whether or not, like, do we have to preface it? I'll just, you know. So I would wear it occasionally for one auditions. I'd wear it like out in the beginning. It was pretty cool. And there's just something that I like look down, I'm like, this isn't me. This isn't who I am. And it was almost more weird to see this thing as a reminder of like, that's not my hand. I don't know. It's like this kind of psychological, I mean, subconsciously, I just kind of was like, I don't want it. I don't want to wear it. So I also felt like during this time, I'm like, I feel like I'm wearing it for other people not to feel uncomfortable or not to ask or not to look at me like weird, you know? Cause I'm like, not that I don't care. I have one hand. I mean, I get that, but I don't care as much. Like, I don't care if you guys see me without one hand, cause this is who I am. Like, if that makes any sense at all. So, I recently did this like campaign for like prosthetics, and it was like talking about the wholeness in prosthetics, that why people wear them is to feel whole again. And so that to me was like, you know, one of my girlfriends just started a nonprofit for hands to make women, young girls, feel beautiful again. And to me, that kind of breaks my heart that they can't feel beautiful As they are. And a lot of them are born that way. Mm-hmm. There are accidents that I completely understand you know, because I have so many people be like, I just wouldn't like show up to life. I'd lock myself in a room. I wouldn't want anyone to see that. That's so like, you know, people, it's interesting, like the response, it's like this weird social experiment, but I guess that's where when people are like, no, it's really inspiring that you could just walk out and you never had to like pretend that you were something else other than, hey, this did happen to me. But it's like, I forget. I mean, truly, it's kind of like in the summer, I'm like running around the beach with like one hand in my bikini and my dog, and we're playing like, you know, frisbee. And I see the stairs sometimes, and then I was like, oh yeah, I have one hand. I'm like, what are you looking at? And then, but it's just,
I know it's a cute bikini, but come on, guys. I know I look hot in this.
Or just like at the store, or walking down Abbott here, like in this like little dress, you know, and I'm just walking over, do do do, and then the kids are very interesting because that's like, you know, and it's just a different response. And I don't know, sometimes I feel like it's either the parents, like little kids are like, where's your other one? And this other girl started crying, just like, are you hurting? Like she was so scared, she didn't understand. And then the mom is like, shh, or the one mom is like, you can ask her, you know? Yeah. So yeah, I just feel like that's not the message I really want to share,
yeah,
especially with other people that have dealt with, yeah, what I've dealt with.
And I think even with other things that we don't accept of ourselves, like that's a representation of, you know, for you of with the hand that you're like, this is who I, without the hand, this is who I am. And I'm going to, I accept myself for it. And I love what you said. You're like, that you can still be loved, cherished, and beautiful, whether you had it or not. Like, it's not a representation of how much love you can get or how appreciated you can be or how beautiful you are. And I think that goes for all of us, right? You know, whether it's for other people, they might think it's other parts of their body that they shame or judge, but it's like, what if you actually accepted it and know that even whether you're, whatever it is that you're judging, accept it, love it, and know that you don't need to enhance it, change it, whatever. And you can still be loved. You can still be beautiful and be cherished just as it is and just as you are.
Well, that's so wonderful. I've looked at it like that, but understood it in that way because at the same time, I have to accept it. This is who I am. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, clearly I have accepted it, but at the same time, it doesn't identify me. So that's like, I don't walk around and, you know, like you don't, like I said, I haven't told this story in so long. I don't really share it too often. I'm not out there like, hey, have one hand. Oh, poor me. This happened to me. This happened to me. This happened to me. You know, I actually like shied away from that, but there's like a balance of it because there's an opportunity to help. I'll share my story.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, quoting you is the power is being okay with being in your own skin. And that is the key to true confidence. Is loving yourself, loving God, and being grateful for each and every moment in this life. Yeah. That came out of your mouth.
I said that.
You're,
I
was like, so profound. You didn't even know it.
Quote of the day. Quote of the day. Quote of a lifetime. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a blog, Believe and Become.
Mm-hmm. I Believe and Become. I Believe and Become. And I started that probably like a year after my accident. It's crazy. If you read the about me, it's written like 7 days after my accident. And it's like this whole, like, this is my plan, like my revelations I was having. And I was just like, so grateful to be here and how, you know, just like the shift of perspective. I mean, all of those things came within this like crazy, you know, moment of just like, happy to be alive. So yeah, I've had that, and it started as just kind of like an outlet to kind of, I just write. That's how I get it out. Just write. But, and then I'm like, if I can put on some kind of platform to, you know, share with other people. Yeah, I try to be as consistent.
Still actively writing on there?
I will say, I feel like it's in the last, it's been 7 years or something. People don't like to read that much.
That's why, guys. Girl, stay tuned for Chantel's video.
Exactly.
You need a YouTube channel.
I'm doing a vlog. I gotta vlog it. I'm starting it. And like, someone's like, isn't it a little late in the YouTube game? I was like, it is not late. This is the time to do it now, especially because in the beginning, I was asked to like share your story, speak at an event. They wanted to do a reality show on me. I was like, I don't know my story. I don't know who, I don't know what that story is yet. I've lived 9 years in this body now, in this like new reformed body, whatever, you know, I'm kidding. But, and just everything that I've shared with you that I'm like, now's my time. I feel it, the timing, I feel my heart is in it to like really be okay to express mm-hmm. how I authentically feel. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, starting my YouTube channel.
Woo! And here's the thing is, there is no late in any game if you come from a place of abundance and not scarcity.
Oh.
Okay?
Yes.
So if you're meant to do it and this is when your soul's telling you to do it now and this is the perfect time for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch.
I know. I'm excited.
So I got a few more questions for you to close this out.
Sure.
First is this. What is something about unique about you that most people don't know?
Gosh, one of those questions that most people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Okay. Gosh, I don't know.
What does only your boyfriend know about you?
I'm okay. What do we, you know what I like to do? I don't know if it's unique. This probably just comes from my acting training. I love to talk in accents. In like for in full conversations, like straight with up. Him, just straight up. Like the other night, we were just talking. We were talking a little twang, and I was like, "Baby, I don't really know. I don't really know what we want for dinner. Like, what are we doing over here?" And we go into this whole thing, and then I was like, "I don't know, but Kingsley's acting up," and I make up these whole story. Kingsley's my dog,
okay.
And I'm like, "What?" And then he's like, "Who are you?" I was like, "I don't know." I was like, "But you better get together because we're gonna go out right now. We're gonna get." I mean, I don't know. This stuff just kind of flies out of my mouth. I think that's like. I miss the theater. No, I'm kidding. I'm such a theater nerd.
I love it.
So that might be my, I'm such a theater nerd. Like as like cool and no, I don't look that cool and collected as I look. Like I'm still just kind of a theater nerd at the end of the day.
I love it. You've got your dog and your man as your audience,
as
at least
audience.
Every single day. And then when you can get on stage, you can do that too.
I can do that anytime you like. Well, I could talk in a little British accent. And so sometimes I love to do that when we have tea and we just have a little chat. And I'm like, baby, what would you like for dinner? And he's like, oh, you're so elegant.
You're like, wait, is this? Wait, hold on.
I want you to do a Chinese accent.
You're like, that's where I draw the line.
That's where I draw. Totally.
All right, next time.
Okay.
You go practice and come back.
I will.
All right. When you are in a really dark place, what's your go-to to get out?
Ooh. Yoga right now.
Hot eight
yoga. I'm like, their biggest, like, I don't know. What do they call them? I don't know. I'm their biggest fan. But sweat it out. A really dark place. Write it out. Writing. I'm telling you, when I write, like, the answers are already there. That's the coolest part. Like, when I have the question, whether it's God speaking to me or whatever it is through my writing, I'm like, the answer is already within. You know, if you just, you do the work to kind of ask the right questions, figure it, you know, not walk away from it. I can't do that anymore because I saw what it did before. Mm-hmm. The more I suppress, the more I go bananas.
Oh, and yeah, I'm just, and that it'll come back up at some point.
Or I'm just
only
like,
so much suppressing you can do. Trust me. I know.
Not a good version of myself. And I don't like the way that feels either, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. So I write and then I'm like, I'm going to be okay. Look at, I just wrote it out.
Like, I just wrote this whole thing out and look, in the end, everything's going to be okay.
Everything's going to be all right, y'all. I'm so not from the South at all. I'm from Oxnard, California. I'm a Southern Cali beach girl. And I think I have a twang sometimes, whatever.
I love it. All right. And knowing what you know now, what advice would you give your 10-year-old self?
Oh,
sweet girl. That sweet girl.
Oh, man. I mean, what's that movie? Is it like, you are beautiful? You are enough? Oh, you know, the help.
The help.
Yeah. I mean, if I just looked at her, you're smart, you're beautiful, you're enough. I mean, that's true because I was a smart young girl. I was a talented young girl. I was a beautiful young girl. And it's taken me now, almost 30 years later, to kind of see that person, you know? Like, it's not a fun way to go through life. And I know a lot of people, a lot of young girls, young boys, we battle with this. And I mean, the insecurity is like, if I just keep doing the things that I love to do, I just know it's all going to fall into place. It has to. Mm-hmm. I never gave up and I never will. So I think that's kind of like the lesson. There's moments that I've kind of shied away and just kind of been going through the motions of what was the path of least resistance, but in like the most literal way, you know, just like, don't do anything that's outside the box or too challenging, because then I have to like show up mm-hmm. at life. But
hey, if you're here, it's time to show up.
I'm ready.
On this planet.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
That was fun.
It sure was. And I'm glad we made it happen. And thank you for sharing your heart and your soul and all of who you are. It's so magnificent.
Thank you.
How remarkable is Chantelle? I mean, I am seriously inspired by her spirit and how she was able to immediately shift her mindset about her life to one of trust, empowerment, and possibility when she lost her hand, and how she's used that to encourage and champion others to rise up in the face of tragedy. Now, I want to acknowledge that it was also important for her to later work through and heal the trauma of that experience, but that through it all, she continued to choose a perspective that supported her in staying at peace and rising to her next level. Again, you know, we can never predict what direction our lives are going to move in, but we always have the ability to choose how we respond to the direction and to every single circumstance that unfolds in our life. And however you choose to perceive and respond to life, again, it determines whether you keep your power or you give it away. When we're in reaction mode, which usually comes from a place of fear and old programming, that's when we give away our power. But if we are willing to respond from a place of love, from a place of acceptance, compassion, and understanding, that is when you get to truly keep your power. So if there's something that's recently happened in your life that didn't go the way you wanted it to, check in to see if you're in resistance, which usually means you're in reaction mode, or if you were able or are able to shift and consciously choose how you want to respond. Because again, that is your superpower. Now, if you want more goodness from Chantelle, make sure you go check out my Instagram at @IamStephanieKwong, where I've got a mini video of Chantelle sharing a tip of how to release the feeling of not good enough. Now, I post these extra wisdom bombs from all my guests on my Instagram for you so that it becomes a place for you to go to for the inspiration and empowerment that you may need. And you can scroll through my feed and find other empowering tip videos from previous guests who've been on the show too. Also, if you want an extra boost of support to release the self-doubt or the I'm not good enough story, make sure you check out my free self-love gift that I've got for you. It's a self-love kickstart that'll give you some powerful practices to get on your journey to owning your worth, rocking your confidence, and opening up to your own love to radically transform your life. And you can download that free gift that I created just for you at stephaniekwong.com/self-love-kickstart. Okay, guys, if you want to connect with Chantelle and follow her inspiration on her blog, all the links are in the show notes, and that's over at stephaniekwong.com/EP35. And you can check out all my other podcast episodes there too. All right, until next time, I'm sending you so much love.